What is this? A new teaching with authority. To have authority is to be one with the author in some way. At the Last Supper, Philip was to say to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." Jesus responds, "Philip, have I been with you all this time, and still you don't know who I am? To have seen me is to have seen the Father." It's an important thing for us to remember. Sometimes we hear these things and we know them in a way, but they don't click. Jesus shows us who God is. God, who is Spirit. The Father is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Spirit. But Jesus took on a human nature. And so we can see something of who God is in looking at him and listening to him. It was as if the apostles' quest for who God really is came to a head at that night, although I don't know that they really realized it at the time. But finally, he was giving them some insight as to who he is. Everything about Jesus spoke of the Father. He's God, after all. He's God and man. But he is our link with the Trinity. He shows us what we couldn't know otherwise, because all our information comes from externals, through our senses. Unless God gives us a special gift in which he directly reveals himself to us. And he's done that with certain saints, mystics. That's what mysticism is. But for the most part, he describes, he shows himself to us in ways we can understand. So Jesus is the great divine communicator. Our expectations sometimes fall short of who he is, because we're so familiar with his words. We hear these things in church, or we read them over and over, and then all of a sudden something will happen and we'll learn, we'll get an insight. He showed us, he didn't just tell us that he loves us, he showed us what he meant. There was a movie a number of years ago called The Straight Story. I don't know if any of you ever saw it. It was about an older man who had a daughter who was a little challenged mentally. And he was notified that his brother had had a stroke. And he had had a falling out with his brother quite a while before. So he determined to visit his brother. So he fixed up his flatbed trailer and put provisions on it, and then got his little John Deere lawnmower tractor and connected it to the trailer and took off. He had to go past a couple states to get to his brother's place. And he drove off, and the thing broke down immediately. So he had to go get a new tractor. So he bought a new tractor and started out again. And I think I've mentioned this here before, as I think about it. In any case, he goes through a difficult time getting to his brother's place. The thing was always breaking down. People were helping him. They, over and over, people wanted to drive him there, and he wouldn't allow it. So finally, he gets to the to his brother's place, and the thing breaks down again. But he's going downhill, and he coasts into the yard. And his brother is sitting on the porch. And he gets off the tractor and goes over to his brother. And his brother looks at the tractor. And it's a pretty pathetic looking thing with this big flatbed trailer behind it. And he said, "Did you drive that all this way?" And he said, "Yes, I did." The brother just looked at it and motioned to him to come into the house. And they were reunited. Now, if he had said to his brother, "I'm sorry about all that, you know, but I really didn't mean it, and I really want this to be behind us," it wouldn't have had nearly the power of what he endured. The sacrifice that he went through was what made the difference. It wasn't just words. He really meant it, and his brother saw that. He didn't just hear it, he saw it. That's what Jesus did in dying for us on the cross. He didn't just say he loved us. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you." He said that at the Last Supper. But it's recognizing his death on the cross and all that he endured that we know we are loved. It is important for us to let that sink in, because that's our life. We have value because God loves us, and he loves us that much, more than that, really. But that's as much as he can show us, as much as we're capable of taking in at this time of our existence. So God creates us to understand who he is. Of all the creatures on earth, we're the ones who are capable of that. He's given us that gift. And again, I'm finding myself saying this more and more these days. A number of years ago, because when you get older, you have a lot of memories. There was a series on television. It was also a series of books by James Herriot. He was a veterinarian in England. And he was a country vet, and he writes about the various people that he treated and so on, and it's quite amusing at times. In one instance, there's a lady who consistently feeds her dog with people food, and the dog continually gets sick. And she makes up names for the illnesses, and she takes them to the dog, and she almost bribes the doctor. I mean, she's always giving him things so that I guess he won't refuse to treat the dog, because she'd never go with whatever he told her to do. She would completely ignore. She was going to continue giving him human food. But this is something that exists in our society even today: the desire to humanize animals, humanize pets, and they're not capable of being human. God didn't create them that way, and we don't have the ability to raise them to our level in any way. We're obliged to be kind to them, but we can't make them what they are not. But God can do that to us. He can raise us to his level to some degree. Not to be equal to him, certainly, but he can raise us above the human nature, the natural level. And he does. He could do that to the animals if he wanted to. Perhaps he will someday. But in any case, with us, he does that. And as a result of, we call this grace, supernatural grace, he gives us the ability to do things we couldn't do on our own. And if you stop and think about the people in your life, people that you admire, people that loved you very much, or that you've seen love others very much, you begin to see some resemblance between creature and creator. I remember my grandmother, my dad's mother, was a delightful person. She suffered a lot in her life, but she had a very good sense of humor. I remember one time as a little boy, my dad used to repair automobiles on the side. And so he'd go over to their place, because there was in the garage there was a pit that he would stand in and under the car to work on it. And I would get kind of bored, so I'd wander around and I'd go into the house and talk to her. And we would sit facing each other. I'd sit in the chair that my grandfather usually sat in, and they would talk each night. Read the paper to each other. And she was talking about her mother, and her eyes filled with tears. And I remember as a little kid not being able to take it all in. I wondered, her mother must have lived, 100 years ago. And here she's showing, and she's, I couldn't picture my grandmother with a mother, is basically what it was, because my experience was so limited at that point. I had nothing to refer it to. So the fact that my grandmother was talking about her mother in a loving way was just very strange to me. But it shows me a little bit of how we are with God. That God does things that we're not quite capable of appreciating. As we get older, we improve if we're fortunate. But there's mystery all around us. We think we know it all, and we know so little, Even coming here, coming to church, we so often zero in on the wrong things. People say, "Oh, I'm not going to go to that mass. That mass is awful. I mean, I don't like the music. I don't get anything out of it. It's boring. Boring. Why are we here? What is it that is so different about coming to church to pray than other places? It's God. Certainly God is everywhere, but his throne is here. He's present here in a physical way. It was his idea, not ours. Who of us would have thought of it? It is important for us to think like this. You know, children do. Children ask questions. I remember as a child, I was always asking questions. I remember asking my mother, I was plunking on the piano and she was in the kitchen and I yelled from the living room to the kitchen, you know, "Are there lady priests?" And my mother said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Ask the sisters." And so I said, easy out. Unfortunately, today we don't have sisters, as many sisters as we did then. And I never did because I forgot about it. You know, kids are. But it is important for us to recognize this connection between God and us, and that we're made in his image and likeness, and so therefore we can imitate him. And we do when we show concern for others, when we show our love for him. When we look at the greatest memory I have of my father, and at the time I didn't know this was going to be the case, we were on vacation and we were at the Carmel Mission. And they've got artifacts that you go from one room to another. And there was this graphic Spanish-style crucifix with a lot of blood on it. And I remember seeing tears in my dad's eyes. That's my happiest memory of him. It mattered to him. Seeing the suffering that Christ went through mattered to him. These things become great consolations after your parents have died. After anyone that you love has died, to know that they responded to God, that God mattered to them. It's a great gift. Our faith is truly alive if we simply let it in. We recognize God's presence. So often I tell people, spend some time before a crucifix each day. Let that be a reminder. Look at how much he loves us. We need that because we can't do it by ourselves. It's not a matter of conjuring up something. It's there already if we just turn our attention to it. So we come here today and we read about Jesus and the authority that he had because of the connection he has with the author. We recognize that the Father used him not only to create us, to design us, to sustain us, but to tell us who he is and to show us how much we are loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.